Great. Folks, thanks for coming to the quarterly electronic documents subcommittee meeting. I'm Councilwoman Lisa Diller. I'm co-chair with Councilman Bob Weiner. And we might as well just go around the room. We have some new folks here today, and we just want to welcome everybody and...
Thank you.
Mike Kozakowski, Newcastle County Recorder of Deeds.
Jim Meek, Newcastle resident, former News Journal employee.
Kristen Dwyer, Executive Office.
Bob Weiner, Newcastle County Councilman.
Faye Tharman, Special Services Engineer.
And Guy Trello, Legislative District Councilman, Primrose Hall.
Grant Fire, 78, the Council President.
George Smiley, and 1125, still a member of council.
You may introduce yourself.
I mean, come on up the table. It's just easier.
Legislative District Councilman Cartier.
All right. Thank you very much, and if you care to join us up at the table, that's great. If not, the first thing to do is to review the minutes for December 6th. If you had an opportunity to take a look at these, we had some very good updates, and as a result of our discussion, that's why we have Mr. Kozakowski here to give us an update on Dupera later on. Okay.
Wayne,
thanks for coming.
Great.
Wayne Merritt, General Manager of Social Services. We've been sort of loosely constituted. Do we need an approval, Bob, do you think?
I don't think so. George, you have a different opinion?
No. Technically, it's a committee.
Right.
Yep.
Great.
Okay. Well, if you would like a copy of the minutes from December 6th, if you didn't get a chance, let me know, and I can have one sent over to you. The first thing we have on the agenda is Mr. Meek has had some experience with interactive maps, and do you want to fill us in on your experience and...
Sure. The reason why I'm here is that in January I saw an item in the paper about how there was a problem with the land use maps, and there were complaints, and there was a delay in approval for the comprehensive planning because people said that they couldn't access the maps. So I looked online, and I absolutely agreed. They were terrible. I wrote to Councilman Weiner saying, yes, they are terrible, but there are some relatively simple things that can be done to improve them, and they would be low cost and relatively easy to do. And he wrote out to all the departments, who I do not know the departments, said, please contact Mr. Meek. So in the 2 months that have happened since then, the maps are still terrible, although the county website now has an annotation in red. We understand that these are difficult. If you're not a GIS expert, here are some instructions, or please contact this person at the county. No one has contacted me. So I can tell you folks what I would do, or what I might do is use the web and show you what I think is a simple interface, and show you what the counties is in comparison and describe what I would do. What would you like me to do? Just talk or show
us? I think show us the interface that you have used in the past. I think that would be interesting, and for those of us who are not experts in this area.
Now, for those, since I can't see where the dam on this thing, where is Firefox or Internet Explorer?
It's Google Chrome.
Is that Chrome?
Yeah.
Type PHP, it should take it up a bit. Keeps the last one PHP. Oh, that's it. Okay. So if you go to the newspaper, thank you. Go to the newspaper. I should point out that I have not been with the newspaper for about a year and a half, so there are a couple things on some of the pages that I will show you that are no longer working, but the basic maps themselves have worked untouched for a year plus. So let's look at a map of property records. So it opens rapidly. That's the first point. The second point is that although there's all this stuff, all of these ads that Delaware Online is trying to use to make money, the actual interface is very simple, and I'm going to contrast this with the counties. The interface consists of a slider that you use to adjust the zoom, an address box that you can address at an address. So let's address 1211 Larco Drive. The other interface is that you can drag it with your mouse, or you can click on a property. But here we're going to go to 112. Oh my goodness, look who that is. Robert Weiner and Lucinda. Okay, and you can see where they are. You see the location, and we zoom in. You notice how rapid this is. And then you click on it to get information. The tax property class, the zoning, and you show complete all sorts of other stuff, the county stuff. So this is the number of interfaces. One for this, one for drag, and one for, if you want to count that, for clicking to get information. So that's either one or three, depending upon what you call it. That is for real estate. And that didn't open up to show anything other than real estate related kind of information. We can get other stuff and get properties sold since. Again, notice how fast this is. So it opens up to a fairly simple view, but it doesn't have initially all of the, let's see if I can. So here's a crime map. This is even simpler, and if somebody had said, what would I like to see for the proposed comprehensive plan, I'd like to see something like this. That is, when it opens, you see a picture of what you're talking about. You don't have to click anything else to see it. You can have some other buttons like we had for the real estate to be able to show other layers, but you don't have 40 layers. You have only, as I said, one control. So let's go in comparison to that, to the counties. Let's see. Let's go to property information, whoops, maps. Let's go to GIS. So, let's go into Surrey Park, which is where I used to live before I moved to Newcastle.
It's a war zone now with the drilling for the sewer lines.
We're negotiating peace.
Yeah. First thing you notice is that it's not as fast to load up. The second thing is, let's enlarge this so we can see more of the stuff. As I said on the News Journal maps, there was basically one widget, one slider for zoom. Here, if I count correctly, there are 15. You have to be able to click something to be able to zoom in if you want to. You have to know that. Now, I've had training in GIS, two courses at the university. Notice how long this is taking to load. Finally, you get it. And if you want to click on something, you'd have to then modify and know that you go somewhere here as an information symbol. I don't even see it at the moment. Oh, that's too bad. Do you see an information
symbol? It's identified.
Where?
The last one.
Okay, so now I'll identify a property at random. And it will identify it. But basically, what I'm suggesting is that for simplicity, you want to think like what Google does for their search thing or Apple does for most of their stuff. They have a simple, elegant interface with only a few things that the user needs to see. They don't clutter it with all sorts of other stuff because that just makes it harder for the user to do. Now, what could you do to make this simpler? Thing one that I would do is I would eliminate 13 of the 15 or maybe 12 of the 15 widgets here. And that doesn't require a lot of programming. You take this page and make this the advanced page and then have a new page that's simpler. You just copy the one page for this, make another one and get rid of all the junk and have a link to this page as an advance for people who want everything. This is a great page, and I use this for looking up stuff as I research properties in the Newcastle area, but I don't think the average user needs it. The second thing is that I would, on the map layers, we haven't even gotten into the land use. So if you go to the county's thing, the county's page, they'll tell you to look at land use, and they'll tell you to find, actually, future land use. Okay, it opens up, shows only the land use here. No easy way to find out and compare what's happening between the land use for 2012 and for 2010. You can, for an individual property, look here and then remember it as you go back. Ideally, for council purposes as well as the citizens' purposes, you'd have a map that showed the difference. Where there is no change in the land use, white. If there is a change, you color it something. You could be more sophisticated, increase land use, or increase whatever, you make it red or blue or something like that. That's a little more difficult because you have different classifications, and how would you rate that? But simply change or no change. So I'd get rid of the extra stuff. Two is I'd have it open up to the part, to the view that you want to see, namely the land use. And three, I'd make some additional things that would give some, provide extra information to the people who want to know what the story is. Now, whether the county can do that, I do not know. So I don't know if special services is what you do.
We do sewers, we do parks, we do buildings, we do fleet. And we're interfacing with land use and accepting sewer plans.
Now, it would be great if we
by electronic
sewer
means, but
it would be great if we had sewer information on here. The trustees, I'm a trustee of Newcastle Common. We'd be interested in having a bike trail or a walking trail between Wilmington Manor Gardens and the Delaware Greenways. Half of it would be on county land, half of it would be on trustee land. But there is a sewer that goes there based on these waist-high concrete culverts. I don't have any access to sewer plans, and it would be lovely to be able to see something like that on a layer like this.
So sometimes the sewer plans get a little more complicated, and there are some security issues associated with some of the sewer issues.
Okay. So, three things. Simplify, open up in what you're interested in showing, and this is not the place to talk about it, but this technology is about 6 years old. Probably the county spent a ton of money on it. I would guess roughly $100,000. And I don't know that there are people in the county now have access to the code and can change this or not. Without belaboring things, and you guys are not programmers. The News Journal thing is a different language called JavaScript that basically they could take what I have done, and a high school student would be able to modify it. They could actually look at my web page, copy it, take the JavaScript, and be able to reuse it. All you need to do is create a new layer for everything that you want to show, and then just use the JavaScript to have the buttons to turn something on or off. So, any questions then, in terms of
I really appreciate your taking the time to come in here. I would just like to ask, is there some way that we can use his input to take a look at simplifying our system?
I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about making the website more customer-friendly and easier and more intuitive to use. Without having IS here, I can't really answer that question because I don't speak their language. You know, I definitely see the value in making it more intuitive and more customer friendly. But, you know, just something that comes to mind very easily is, and you mentioned maybe keeping this as an advanced search for folks. You know, if we start taking any kind of feature away from, you know, what the public has access to, then we land ourselves in even, you know, under even more scrutiny. So the reason why there's so many different layers, you know, is because at one point in time, a constituent asked to be able to see that. So, I mean, although that is a very complicated, interface as compared to what, you know, you showed us previously, I think it's complicated for a reason, but you know, it is older, and maybe updating it to make it more intuitive and making it more customer friendly might be the middle ground there. But without having IS here, I mean, I can't.
And knowing what system they're using,
yeah.
I mean, you know that what was used at the news journal is JavaScript, but I mean, that's sort of beyond my.
But well, when I first came to the news journal and was assigned as a part of my task to program maps, I took a 3-day course at Esri, which is the company that uses the software that makes the basic mapping stuff. And I'll tell you that programming is really tough. I was able to come up with some maps, but they were never what the editors would be satisfied with. My goal was to have something that an editor could do, and not to be snide, but if an editor can do it, an average person can do it. So they couldn't.
Kind of like if a council person could do it, anybody could do it. Yeah.
Or my wife. My wife's a doctor, an MD, and she can't do this stuff. So I figured, you know, she's a smart woman. But You're absolutely right. You don't want to take anything away from an advanced page. And the layers are useful, and the widgets are useful, and I use them when I find out stuff. When I want to check into a parcel, I want to see what was done there in 1932, and the multiple different sources, if not the county, the state site, datamill.delaware.gov, all of these have all of the stuff for looking it up, and it's really useful. But the average person who comes and wants to see something doesn't see it that way.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. You know, it's not, it's older, it's not necessarily intuitive. You know, you don't, if you're thinking about something, the widget might not explicitly look like what it is you're looking for. It's not as customer friendly. I think there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, without having IS here, I don't know what it would take to make those kinds of changes, if it's an in-house or if it's, you know, contract at work. If there's a contract involved, I mean, there's just so much that could be below all, underneath it all, that I don't know how the answer to.
An additional thing is, and Councilwoman Baylor mentioned this, about making the web in general, the council's or the county's website, more web open and user-friendly, is that when there are things that are not like just displaying what's going to happen in the comprehensive plan, but there is some story that you want to tell, an interface like I described is one that lends itself to having a map, having information, and having text on the side that you guys create.
Something to look into, absolutely.
I think, you know, it's too bad that Tom isn't here today, but I think that what you've given us is, you know, a window into the possible and, you know, seeing what we can realistically do with what we've got and, you know, financial constraints on new software. I mean, I think that's a big issue with where we are now, but are there some things that we can do to at least make it more user-friendly, even if it's reorganizing some of this stuff so that people, to make it more intuitive, I don't know. But I really appreciate you coming in, because it's very interesting to see this and to see the differences between the two. And, you know, it gives us ideas as to what else can be done.
Well, let me ask you to write something down and ask IT folk. Write down REST, R-E-S-T.
Okay.
And ask them what version of software, of ArcGIS software, they're using.
Okay.
9.2 is what this was probably, these counties was probably created under, 9.2. In 9.3, there was a sudden drastic change, and it allowed this REST technology, which is the JavaScript. And that is what I did, and that is what I'm saying that a high school student who is these days pretty frequently savvy can handle.
So there was a change between 9.2 and 3 that allowed you to use that less complicated JavaScript.
Right. I was having difficulty using the complicated stuff that you guys probably, well, I don't know, that was $100,000, but that's a reasonable guess. I was paid $60,000 a year, and only 10% of my time was worked on maps. And so the stuff that's up here now, you could use my code to start with. All that the county would have to do is create the map layers to bring up. And that, if you have 9.3 or 10, you could do that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very good information. I I've got notes, so maybe we can collaborate, Christina, to make sure we get that over to Tom, just to ask and keep you in the loop. Yes.
Would it be helpful that maybe Tom Peralta could get together with him?
I don't see why not. I'll take your information to send over to Tom. I honestly, you know, I've dove into the world of the county website myself, and because I know how to do websites and whatnot, and in my experience, it's far more complicated than you see on face value. You know, you may have noticed we changed the homepage. Mm-hmm. You know, that was an easy task. So, I mean, it's just, there's just a lot there that meets the eye, and a lot of stuff that the feedback you get when you start delving into, like, questions about why this is this way and why it's that way. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things you don't expect, but it makes a lot of sense as to why things are that way. And it does, you got to be creative to, you know, come up with maybe a more user-friendly technique, but I'd be happy to sit down with him. I just think that, you know, once you sit down with the IS folks, you will see that there is much more to it than what you see on face value and why it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And then it just is a conversation about how to, you know, maybe below it's complicated, but on the face we can make it a little less.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, that's a conversation.
I'd be happy to talk to Tom. I knew him since he was the contact person for getting all of the county data that we have for the real estate.
Okay, great.
Okay, that sounds
good. So if you would, you have my email address. And
I
just,
do.
Ask him to.
Do we have a phone number too?
Sure.
We do. Well, go ahead, but we do have your phone number. Yeah.
326-1275.
Okay.
The conference I just came from, National Association of Counties Conference, has a GIS section, and I attended some of the sessions and have seen how counties are now simplifying the interface. Good friends with the chairman, he had taken a look at our website and sort of basically said the same thing, that we could simplify it, we're keeping the same deeper kinds of research. So.
Yeah, the technology that I know is now 3 years old, and there may well be some new stuff that Esri has out that's available that would drastically make it simpler also in terms of the user interface, but it probably would be expensive to do. My only caution is in dealing with anything that Esri supports is make sure that every user can use it. Like some of the stuff, they require Silverlight, which is a Microsoft product that you have to download and install on your machine. And
making sure it works on every browser and everything like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell Esri?
ESRI.
Right.
Okay.
They are the 100-pound gorilla in the mapping field. Mm-hmm. Now, probably the county dealt with a contractor whose name I'm forgetting. I think it is a Gannett affiliate contractor that's out at 273 and 95, and the state dealt with them as well. And I'm sure there was a big contract for creating this existing program.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting.
I have enough meetings today.
That's fine. That's fine. We just want to. In the spirit of openness.
I'll sit for a little bit, and then I may disappear.
Okay,
and if you'd consider coming back, we meet quarterly on the first Tuesday.
Sure.
And you two could exchange information. Our next meeting will be, what's this month now?
Saying June 5th.
June 5th, the first Tuesday in June at 11:30 a.m.
Sure.
And we'll be able to include him in notice, but June 5th is the first Tuesday of the next quarter.
And I should be here. I'm headed out west on a vacation, I think probably the week after that.
Great. Well, timing's perfect.
We can put you on the list then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. No problem. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Boy, I'll tell you, it's been helpful. I've been learning a lot about GIS last couple of days.
Well, I it's too bad Tom isn't here, but we'll make the connection, I think. It'll be good. Mr. Kozakowski, give us an update about DuPera.
Sure. Well, good day, everyone. And you know what they say, timing is everything. And I was also in D.C. last week for the PREA.
which is the Public Records Industry Association. And pretty much what the content, which is in the DRPRA, which is the Delaware Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act. And let's kind of go backwards a few years, where under previous administration, under the Minter administration, legislation was passed, Title 25, which gives the responsibility to the Recorder of Deeds in each of the counties, along with the Secretary of State, having the opportunity to appoint two at large. Well, it's I wanted us to be the second state in the country after Virginia to have electronic recording standards. So even though trying to kind of motivate things a little bit, I was not the chair at the time. And Russ McCabe, who's director of archives, and we really never officially met as a commission. So this past June, my counterparts in Sussex and Kent, after presenting them with a quick synopsis on not only what legislation that really make up the content of the Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act, but also what Title 25 stipulated. So nowhere in the title did it say that the Secretary of State gets to appoint the chair. So we held an election, and my counterparts elected me to be the chair. So now we've been moving progressively forward. My senior staff and I have collected a lot of information from other states. We're not reinventing the wheel. So we have a lot of examples to look at. Well, about say 3 or 4 months later, putting all the content together, pulling out our statutes from that have been passed 2005 and before. So pretty much what the Uniform Real Property Act incorporates in various pieces of legislation is on the national level, it's the National Transaction Act of 1999. The Recording Act, National Recording Act of 2005. Our state, also PREA, Public Records, their national requirements. So this way we have the uniformity that we're looking for, because that's basically what we want to provide our primary business organizations. The reason why we want to have it set on a county level, each county doing and having a set of requirements, uniformity throughout Delaware would be three counties. So this way, if any primary business organization was doing electronic recording, and now we're getting to the point of why we want to go there. And that is, let me give you the other acts, the statutes, and then we'll move to there. In Delaware, Title 25 is the act that not only gives us the responsibility to go ahead and put together the content to adopt and regulate. Now, if any of those paragraphs within Title 25 needed to go back to amend any of the statutes, then it would have to go back to the legislature. So far, meeting with the commission, my counterparts in Sussex and Kent gave me the latitude to meet with the state and county attorneys to finalize the content. The commission is not going to meet again until we actually have what we feel is an operable Electronic Recording Act, but also my responsibilities on Newcastle County level as Recorder of Deeds was to take Attachment G, which is an electronic filing agreement, which is an MOA. And that MOA is just a template. And now my Office Administrator, Chief Deputy, and I have actually been putting together, and that's why I wanted to go to D.C. last week to run my agreement for Newcastle County with my counterparts that have already implemented electronic recording, along with some of the vendors that basically what we're looking at. In order for us to go electronic, not only is a third-party vendor going to come in and provide this continuity, okay, of not only working within the imaging retrieval system that we currently have here in Newcastle County, but here in Newcastle County we have, between us working and partnering with our IS department and also DTS, who is the vendor that provides our software, okay, business on a transactional basis. But Sussex County and Kent County use different vendors, but there's uniformity there as far as no matter who the vendor is, they have to fulfill these requirements in order to go ahead and process these documents electronically. So we've been paperless since 2001. Now we want to go ahead and provide that same paperless structure, make us 100% paperless for the primary business organization. So the current way of doing business is that the primary business organizations, lending institutions, law firms, okay, anyone that wants to record a document has to either run it in, mail it in. And once we receive it, then we fulfill our obligations and the various tasks to go ahead and record, and then we give back the originals to the proper parties. The new way of doing business electronically would be that there would be a small investment on the primary business organization's end in regards to scanner, signing an agreement with a third-party vendor that's going to provide that continuity electronically. So when a document is received from the primary business organization, recorder deeds office, there's internal controls and a protocol. Pretty much the same outline that we do with paper would be done electronically, except for what it also does is it, by having it done electronically, it relieves some of the various tasks that would have to be done, performed with paper. So, there's no cost incurred to the county to go ahead and do electronics. The cost would be incurred through the primary business organization and that third-party vendor. Now, there is discussion about implementing into DePira for just like we did back in 2005 with the Recorder of Deeds Technology Fund, okay? Having money set aside to go ahead in this way, not only for Newcastle County, Kent, and Sussex, but really what the goal is, the long-term goal is to provide every single county the technological structure, technological base, so you do have that uniformity in all three counties. Now, I do have some information I brought back from DSA that not only would answer probably some questions you might have in regards to the current dilemma with MERS, but they have some great processes structured set up on what it looked like before MERS was implemented, what the process of recording a document with the structure using MERS, and then of course what they've been floating out there in regards to a long-term fix with a national registry. Okay, so we're trying to go ahead, look at the problem, how can we better resolve the problem, because let's face it, the gatekeeper, and as far as the industry is concerned, in order for them to function when it comes to real estate transactions, they have to utilize Recorder Deeds Office. So when you have a process that's being circumvented, which is what our Attorney General is working on right now in regards to the issue with MERS, but that's something that was addressed. We had to pass these around. I'll give some in this direction.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
More than enough.
Plenty more. You got one? And then here's the outline on the MERS, but you'll find on one of the pages, when you have an opportunity to review it, you'll see that there's a page on pretty much a response from some of the recorders on what some of the issues are.
Mike, would you mind just talking a little bit about, now we already accept electronic documents, electronic filings, correct?
We accept electronic filings only once they're received in our office.
Okay.
No recordation electronic is being performed in Newcastle County Recorder of Deeds Office until this is adopted.
And this talks about building a portal. What is our portal that we use?
Our portal is DTS. And working with our information systems department, and we've had DTS since we went paperless in 2001. So to save the county and the taxpayers as far as cost incurred technologically, we partnered with IS in 2004. There was approximately close to $400,000 in my budget that was allocated to a vendor, and of course over the past 6 years I've given that back to the county, reducing my budget. So once I saw that the partnership with the IS department worked, that's when I realized that not only is it cost effective, but it's we don't need a state portal because we have an imaging retrieval system that not only is efficient and effective, but we're getting ready to upgrade our software. And what that will do is we'll have two systems. We'll have the current system for those users that are used to that system, and then we'll have the new system with the upgrades that will pretty much give. And that was one of the reasons that I guess when my vendor told me that we have upgraded the software and we're ready for you to look at it. And I've been asking him every year, when are we looking at these upgrades? Because there was a couple things that I pointed out to him that we needed to improve on. And that is with our website, and we have subscribers. And those subscribers are paying $100 a month, unlimited access. And they, before, they couldn't view the image, they had to print it out. Of course, now that could, if it was the wrong image, cost them time, ink, paper. All right, so this way they get to view a part of that image to ensure that, there you know, that's a document that they need to record or to print.
And where are Kent and Sussex?
Kent and Sussex are using ACS. I believe of the three counties, Kent County, and of course what has already been scanned within the system. See, our mortgage index goes all the way back to the 1830s, Newcastle County. Our deeds go all the way back to 1945. So we have the technology and the scanning of that, all those documents, for the users to be able to view online. And usually a title searcher does a full, complete title search, goes back 60 years, so we're already there. Sussex County, they still need to go ahead and do that. And that's where the costs come in. But if we were to go back any further, it would be for genealogical purposes.
Yeah.
And that's a long-term goal of mine, but right now I'm focusing on what the major issues are of the needs of the primary business organizations to provide and produce those consistencies that they're looking for. As mentioned in previous council hearings that we had on our budgets, I emphasized that something that we've been working on in-house is actual, instead of outsourcing these projects, my staff has the skills and ability to be able to do that in-house. So that's just another way of how we're justifying our manpower in a reduced market. And it's not only that, but they become more efficient and effective. Like, we're taking our subcompact mortgage books from 1975 to 1996, and that project started 3 years ago, and we're almost have completed that project. Now, of course, you have a vendor come in and do it, it's going to be completed in a much more a quicker fashion. But when things are slow, they revert back to pulling the books and cleaning up those documents, rescanning them, putting them back in the system. And then the next project would be from 1996 to 2001. And then that was one of the first things that when we sat down with, through my transition team, and sat down with the primary business organizations was on that team, I had them put together where are some of the issues that we need to address. But basically what we're looking at under the PIRA, okay, is that this is giving the primary business organizations a more efficient, more effective way of doing business. We're still going to provide them with the alternative, which is running it in or mailing it in. Talking with my counterparts, they're up as far as, to say, 15-20% of documents recorded are being done electronically. 5 to 10 years down the road, we're going to see a much higher percentage because they're going to find out that it is definitely more cost-effective and timely, because this transaction, once the document has been processed, scanned by them, and as long as that all the content is correct, the requirements are met, takes 5 minutes. Where the process mailing it and running it in could take anywhere from a day to 3 days to record that same document.
And where are you in the process with that?
Our imaging retrieval system is ready to go. My software vendor, if I wanted to launch e-recording through Newcastle County without adopting this, we could have done it back in 2005. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't really any call. I mean, I have a few attorneys, so everyone knows Lou Pritzker. Lou's very knowledgeable. He sees not only the importance of doing it, but he's been interested in doing that, so that kind of motivated me, along with Bill Ward. Ward does electronic recording in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure that those that are using e-recording, once we are up and running with it here, they'll be using it here also. My target date was July of 2012. Realistically, I'm hoping that As long as we don't have to amend any of the statutes, which I'm pretty certain that we don't. This was the document that we put together. It's not completed yet, but this is from attachment G of the DePira, and this is pretty much what Newcastle County's requirements are going to be, that the template from attachment G, which is a memorandum of understanding, highlights. And then that's why, of course, they use referring back to the PREA, the national standards. So this way you have the flexibility, so when anything does change through these national conferences, we can adapt. So the commission would get together, and of course our industry, whether it be the primary business organizations or the third party vendors, and Simplifile, which is the largest vendor that's doing electronic recording in the country. That's pretty much, it's an open door. So whoever the vendors are that come in, it's their opportunity to market that primary business organization. So if it's Simplifile or NGO, the recording partners, these large third-party vendors would pretty much contact the law firms and lending institutions. Once they sign that memorandum of understanding, we receive it on a county level, and then, of course, the internal controls are in place for that process just to begin. But it's not only doable, but when you look at what other counties and states have been doing, I guess the big question mark is creating uniformity. So those counties that started before they actually set up statewide standards, okay, they find out that you have this county doing a certain way and this county doing it a certain way. And then that creates more hardships on the primary business organization. So this way, by having those consistencies, it not only is they know, well, it's Colorado. Well, Colorado is the first state in the country where every single county is doing some form of electronic recording out of that county's recorder deeds office. So I do have some maps for you to look at. I think the maps were attached to the back end of the process on MERS. There should be a couple maps on the back end of that. Now, I know that when they were scanned in black and white, you see there's some dark areas like Texas where you can't see the number. But the ones that are in white, and you can see Delaware's in white, that we're not doing any form of electronic recording.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you for the work that you've done and for your presentation. I'm just speaking as a member of the Delaware State Bar Association. We appreciate the opportunity for us to continue our competitive edge as we go electronically, both with recordation of documents and also in our whole litigation process, working with our court judiciary and our committees. And of course, you're a key partner for this. From a county point of view, this is a key to us continuing the large industry that we have in terms of being the corporate headquarters of the world. And I know the county executive appreciates that as well. Kristen, is the administration been briefed on this? Or
we first heard about it, I think, at a DACO meeting. Mm-hmm. And since then, Mike and I, we've been talking about it since the fall of last year. So
that's where we had our first commission meeting in September. Mm-hmm.
And he's been, you know, every step of the way, you know, we touch base and he keeps me up to date. And right now, I mean, my only question is, I know you were trying to get clarity as to whether or not state legislation would be.
Yeah, I got that from Senator Long.
And does state legislation?
As long as we don't have to amend any of the content within those paragraphs, which means any of the statutes don't have to be amended, mm-hmm. which is the Transaction Act, the Delaware Transaction Act, which is Title VI, Title 25, which is the act that provides us with that setting up the structure, Title 29, Secretary of State, the notaries, mm-hmm. and archives. Mm-hmm. So what I did do is I made sure that the current structure of the DePira that we have, because it's in the works, it's not completed yet, okay? So, but pretty much the content of what we have here is pretty close to full content of having an operable electronic recording act. I did give it to the current chair of the Delaware Bar Real Property Committee, the previous chair, Mr. Kreft.
Yes.
Okay. He has it. I gave a copy to Bill Ward. Lou Pritchard has a copy. And I figure that by giving it to the primary business organizations early on, this way, once we get to that point where after the attorneys review, because they're pretty much the ones that have to tell me that after looking at the statutes, that everything's been evaluated, one of the things they threw back at me was that I had to take my commissioner hat off and put my recorder of deeds hat on. And I said, you need to put the requirements together. And you know what? I humbled myself and I go, what's it's in here? I know it's in here. I remember reading it. Well, that was just it, the attachment G. The attachment G pretty much was the template that says now each recorder has to go ahead and plug in their own requirements for their county. And that's what we were working on. So once Renee and I and Tom complete that, then we're going to sit down with the county and state attorneys again.
And, they, and
Judy Hildick is our
contact.
Is our contact.
And I actually, I mean, Mike's office was kind enough to send that gigantic document over to me. And I did take took a good long look at it, and so I mean we've been in contact. The only thing I I've said this before there's any formal motion to adopting anything, it needs to be presented to the county executive, and I would assume.
Well, that and this is like and exactly, and I also reached out. I'm reaching out to the state in regards to okay, I'm the commissioner, but just because I became the commissioner, I just need to ask the right questions, and that is all this knowledge doesn't just come into your head when they give you an. Position, right? So my request was that, okay, the next phase is that once we feel we have an operable electronic recording act, I need to know the protocol and the process for regulating. Because this way, okay, not only are we dotting the I's, crossing the T's, but we're following a format that was structured by the state. Now, this has no bearing whatsoever, this act, on state assuming more responsibility. So all this act is doing is giving the primary business organizations another way of doing business.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Update.
Anytime. Anytime.
Yes, Mr.
A couple quick questions. One is in terms of backup. Do you ensure or do you have some mechanism established to ensure backup not only within this building but someplace outside of the building?
Yeah, according to our Delaware Code, our responsibility is to make sure that we send copies to archives. And then we also have our documents backed up at Iron Mountain.
Second question is the extra data that you store in addition to the scan, do you also have information in addition to grantor, grantee, and parcel ID, do you have information on what the a map of the property was at the time that the transaction occurred, such as not a survey, but you could have the parcel IDs now from state and county information, but that's going to change 5 years from now. So you kind of have to archive what it is the description of the parcel at the time it's sold, not 10 years from now.
Under our current structure, under Platts, and I know Pat Susi from who was from the IS department, yeah. Pat was working on, I guess it might have had to do something with what you were displaying earlier today in regards to having things accessed online and up to date. Now, of course, you don't have to record a survey, okay? That's not part of our document process. And of course, I would think you'd have to, in order to get the answer why you don't have to record it, I would get talk to some real estate attorneys, but I really couldn't tell you why you can't.
A lot of counties, you are required to record the survey. Out west, it's standard operating procedure.
Okay. That's something that might need to be addressed. But as far as the answer, I'd have to get back with you on that, talk with my office administrator, Red Dale.
Less important than that is just for you to make sure that there are text fields for the important things like grantor, grantee, parcel ID, and so on, in addition to all the scan stuff, so that it can be searched in the future.
Mr. Boyle?
The meets and bounds are included on every deed.
Yeah, it's on legal description.
It refers back to the previous deed and the previous deed and the previous deed. So each deed has the meets and bounds going back to the history to the
Other than you're talking about a map, okay, or the actual plat or plot, but the meets and bounds, and pretty much that's part of the legal description, which is the second paragraph in every deed after grant or grantee.
Having been a title searcher when I was in law school, 1973 to 75, I can tell you that the meets and bounds description is certainly important in terms of doing a title search, but the surveys really, when you get into questions on the accuracy, meets and bounds is really important.
Understood.
Right.
I'm going through one right now on one of my properties.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's where the survey really comes in handy because,
right.
you know, the description, it's giving you the, it's, you know, the point of origin and of course, the, you know, feeder meters, but, yeah.
The plats
and plots, I do. And I did look into that a couple years ago where, why don't we have to record, okay, a survey? And of course, I was told that, you know, the attorney said cost, the amount of cost that would be incurred would be passed on to the consumer, but that there's two different types of surveys that are completed?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
they're
one that would have to be done would be more costly.
Well, yeah, it is. It's a stake survey versus mm-hmm. not stake, but...
One additional question is that sometimes the county puts on a certain field of a sale price, which is a nominal price,
yes.
$5 or whatever, but there is available to the county, but not to the general public, the actual transfer cost. And I would just hope that that would be included in the recorded data.
Well, that's another reason why it is structured that way, because the in Delaware law, the property owner doesn't have to divulge the selling price of the property, but it's very easy to figure out for the transfer
the stamps,
tax.
Yeah,
so you would include the transfer tax information?
The transfer tax information is on the document.
Got it.
Okay. So it's just simple arithmetic.
Right. And we used to mm-hmm. do it back in the olden days by counting the stamps that you had to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it had a nominal $1 or $5 consideration.
So that would have to take an amended Delaware code in order to have that grant the grantor, the property owner, forced to put that price on there.
Folks, we
selling price of the property.
Kept this to an hour, so I think that, you know, we want to thank you for coming and come back again.
Sure. Glad to come back in June to give you an update.
That would be great.
Okay.
At this point, I can give an update from Dave Culver on land use.
And also from Betsy, too.
Yes. I spoke with him last Tuesday. He said he did not know if he could make the meeting. What his report was is that they are continuing to get documents from the engineering firms. They've made the decision at this point that it's easier for land use to scan them. And they
in-house.
Are going to get a new large flatbed scanner, which will make it easier. They're still working on the file extension issue, but he said they are considering the possibility of a document fee to help pay for the scanning work done at land use. He said just the consistency is better if they do it in-house. So that's what is part of what's motivating his thinking about the document fee, but we'll hear more about that.
Yeah, the beta test, they found a lack of consistencies with the various engineering firms. Accuracy would be maybe another way of saying consistency.
Yeah.
So by doing it in-house, they make sure they have quality control.
And being able to have a new scanner that would do it, I think, makes a lot of sense from his end. So that was what the report from land use. The other thing is that Bob and I had an opportunity to talk with Betsy Gardner, and since the council committee hearings went online, basically she's had no FOIA requests for anything because people can now listen to what went on. So it's really great that we invested in this new technology. I know Jim did a lot of work on that. Is there any other updates you want to give us, Jim?
You know, I just want to add a point to that, is that Betsy's not having to do FOIAs has saved collectively all of us time and money. And it's also now it reflects well on all of us that county government is more transparent. And certainly with posting the hearings, so that you can see the agendas and listen to the hearings has just added to our transparency.
Just real quick, within the office, we upgraded to on the Outlook to the 2010. Somewhere on the web version, most of us elected to go to the server version rather than the web version. We're still having a little problem with it, but not as many as in the past. We believe that the problem is that we're still on the 2000. The system is still 2000 XP system, and we're running a 2010 program.
Right, that would make sense.
But we're working with that. The We're working on with them to upgrade the Microsoft Office from the 2003 to the 2010. I've been contacted by IS. A number of us have an Adobe professional program. They would like to kind of rearrange that, for lack of terminology. The team for professionals, about $600 per license. A number of people have it, and there's only really three people who use it. The professional, they're going to move it to a standard version, which gives you some where you can merge documents and change things. Most of the people here just use it to make a PDF. What we want to do is just basically the people who just make it the PDF, that's a free program, convert that to PDF, and the three of them will use the standard. There will be about three people, including myself, who have the standard program. On the 2010 update on the Microsoft Office, I do have one or two people here who have had that upgrade. They're the people who normally input the agendas and so on and so forth into the web. It was a lot easier in order to upgrade those one or two machines. Back to the scanning of the pictures, I knew you were going to ask this. Until the discussion or report from Mr. Culver, my search was we had the flatbed scanner that big. Okay.
We want to archive the photos.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not.
We should right. be in yeah. good shape once they get this new scanner. Then.
Well, once we get the scanner, and I want to get a cost to about the framing. Mm-hmm. So.
We would love a copy of the pictures if you're willing to share. I mean.
Yeah, sure. I think we should make it available to the public.
Yeah.
I mean, since we have the Vice President of the United States here, someone could walk off with that photo.
I mean, everybody. Oohs and ahs when they come in and see them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We found out we have a couple copies of that picture.
Okay.
We have the large version hidden.
Okay, well, it should be electronically available for the public.
Wayne, do you want to give us an update on special services? And then Kristen, anything going on in the executive office?
No change from our last meeting. I brought Dave Thurman with us. Jason was unavailable, and Dave also is intimately involved in our electronic plans. And so we're just here to...
Where do you see your going in the next 6 months?
You see any changes, Dave, relative to our...
We're doing some internal scannings, project files, engineering mm-hmm. files, that type of thing right now. Mm-hmm. I know Stormwater's currently working on NERM files as well, to have those available. It's such a room saver and just the availability.
Yeah, sure.
And it's really quick, and I'm sure Wayne's updated that approximately about 65,000 sewer engineering drawings have been done. We currently have that access right at our desktops now mm-hmm. and can send them to the printer. That's been really helpful.
We're on a local level and on a national level, the lack of accurate data concerning pipelines and other utilities creates a real health, welfare, safety issue. And there's real no answer. The piping industry doesn't want to work with us, with local officials. So NACO's a Mexican standoff, if I can use that expression, with Piper.
Well, thanks. Just keep us updated. You know, any movement forward is good news as far as we're concerned, yeah. and it's great that you'll have access to that at the desktop. I mean, that's really where we want to see things going. So that's.
And I appreciate the security aspect of this
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Because we do have to think about the terrorism component, local, homegrown, as well as national.
It's not as important as necessarily the electronics security, but if somebody wanted to wreak havoc with this county.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. At least make your day pretty miserable.
But it'd be nice for you to know at least where the gas lines are when you start using dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
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 And then it all comes back to how accurate everybody's records are.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they say, well, we're accurate within a quarter of a mile. Thanks. Yeah.
Really quick, I don't know if we had discussed this at the last meeting. We updated the homepage of the county website, so now there's a slideshow feature. I think IS is just working with browser compatibility. On some browsers, it's fit perfectly to the screen. Okay. On other browsers, it's enlarged. So, and the news is kind of pushed down. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be to the side. So they're working on that. as well as I'm trying the best I can to keep the boards and commissions webpage as up to date as possible. I know it's due for an update this month, so that's forthcoming. I have updated the exec page as well. That's a little different format. We've included a FOIA page so people understand the FOIA process. Additionally, I've updated the HOW website. Now if you go to Neighborhood Resources, all of the PDFs that are on throughout the HOW web pages are now listed in one area, so people can, that's like a go-to spot, so people can just download it from there rather than having to search page by page to get a log or to get a copy of a presentation.
Now, people call me all the time and say, I want to contact the civic associations in my area. Is it available on HOW?
No, we don't. That is a FOIA request.
Okay.
So if they want civic association contact information, honestly, like that should be a FOIA request. And mm-hmm. I think there might even be some redacting that would have to go on because it's personal. There's some information that we can give out and some that we can't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunately that's a FOIA.
I'm very reluctant to hand out the email of somebody to some real estate marketer. Because then they'd say, well, why should I give you my email?
I know. And then, mm-hmm. you got people who want it for other reasons.
They want to use it for marketing or whatever.
And that's not what it's there for. If someone were to call the HOW line and they want to be contacted, connected to their civic association, mm-hmm. our HOW folks will connect them to their civic association. But, otherwise, that's a FOIA request, and mm-hmm. there would be redacted information that would come along with that.
Well, I support that. That's good to hear.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and if there's anything that, again, I'm always open to constructive criticism and suggestions, so if there's anything, please let me know.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're receptive to the gentleman's ideas for having a more simple interface available.
I think it's worth a conversation. Mm-hmm. Just to manage expectations, again, mm-hmm. I think there could be, cost and structural kind of impediments.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think it's worth a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I've dove in there myself, and I know just how difficult it is. So
I spent hours trying to figure it out.
I definitely think it's worth a conversation.
Yeah, great. Will you be available for the June 5th?
It's always touchy because now that I've taken over for Nicole, June is the big month. So if I'm not down in Dover, I'd be happy to attend. But if I am down in Dover, I won't, unfortunately. This comes first. So.
And will you be available?
I will be leaving for Alaska for 2 weeks on that date.
Oh, nice.
So.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
You don't want to delay your trip for a day?
Yeah, really.
My wife doesn't.
Okay. Would you be able to send...
We'll have representatives.
Okay, great. And if we have Dave Culver's folks here, too.
Yes, we
will. And Tom Peralta.
Yeah.
And this gentleman would be great if he could...
Can I ask him to contact me? Could I just have his name?
His name is James Meek, and I can get his email address.
Thank
you.
I gave him my card, but just fail safe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have it on my... on my other account, so I'll get it to you. So, well, thanks everybody for coming.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear about what's going on. This has been really interesting. I'm not sure that I will wade through this immediately, but I am looking forward to hearing more about your progress in all of this.
Yes. Thank you. On behalf
I have some progression to report.
Yes, that would be good.
On behalf of the county and also the Delaware State Bar Association, thank you.
This is very exciting.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in 3 months.
Okay. Great.
Thanks.
And Lou Pritzker.
How warm were they?
Yes, Lou Pritzker's my neighbor.
Ah, how about that?